If the Seattle management isn't giving you their time of day, what makes you think that Jerry Jones is going to listen to you?
Most times they're blowing teams out by overtime. Come on now. When they're on, they're on.
Again, I'm going to need you to write LeBron a letter, send it to him, and say, "Bron, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to hop off your bandwagon. Don't do that."
Understood. The Pot Sports are centered by Clover Crest Media Group and Rocky Hill Accountants. I am your host, JJ Vargas, alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett, Sandra Sanchez. How are you guys doing?
Chilling, you?
Doing good. Having a good weekend, baby.
Good, too. You know, we did fairly well in our Blazer predictions to a certain degree, so I know we all had a good weekend on that in that margin. But I want to get right to it, guys, because the NBA Finals have just really gotten interesting, at least for Milwaukee's sake. The Bucks went into Game 5 in Milwaukee and walked out of there with a 123-119 win. You know, that really puts Milwaukee in a very dominating position to this NBA Finals, considering that they're going back to Milwaukee for Game 6, Pride. Listen, I was amazed with what I saw by the Big 3 out of Milwaukee. You know, they all gave you 25-plus performances, and we all know that if that team plays up to that caliber, they're going to be tough to beat, you know. But, you know, Phoenix does have a chance to take the series back to Phoenix for a Game 7, but what chance do you really give the Suns to win Game 6 in Milwaukee and bring it back to Phoenix?
I still give them a solid chance. They're still the better team. So, I mean, barring injury, I think the Suns can still win this. I don't think it's out of hand. I don't think it's out of control. Look, y'all can call me what you want. I don't care. Some of the calls they were getting were the weirdest calls I've ever seen in my life. Ever. Like, Giannis fouled Devin Booker on a dunk attempt in the first quarter. Right? The refs wave it off. And then they spent almost 45 seconds trying to figure out, okay, if the foul's not on Giannis, who's it going to be on? Fam, if you got to reach that bad, you're looking bad. Look, I don't know what's going on. I don't know if these refs are incompetent. I don't know what is going on. But some of these calls I'm seeing is just making me just look at this series, just weird. Maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just because when I was watching the game, I was talking to one of my boys, right? And he said the same thing before I could even say nothing. He's like, "Yo, it's weird how Chris Paul follows Giannis, and they call it an and-one. But in the first quarter, the same thing happened with Giannis and D-Book, and they didn't want to call it." Call me a conspiracy theorist all you want. I don't care. You feel me? I'll still step on your toes and say this. It's weird. If you can't agree with me and say it's weird, like, because, JJ, we were talking about this, and you basically were like, "You're not going to take my conspiracy route." I'm not trying to throw out a conspiracy theory. All I'm saying, if you cannot admit some of that stuff is weird, like, it's very weird. That being said, if I'm the Suns, you got to take the refs out of the game. You have to. Look, they went on a phenomenal stretch. I think it was the second quarter. They went on a phenomenal stretch. And as soon as they had one call they disagreed with, they all gave up. You can't do that. You can't do that. You need to keep press. You need to press, and you need to continue. What they need to do, even if you don't agree with it, grit your teeth. Whether it be an off-ball foul where they have to inbounds it, or whether it's a free, doesn't matter. If you're a Suns player, I don't care who you are. It be Devin Booker or Dario Saric, if he somehow, by the grace of God, gets healthy and plays. I don't care who you are. If you're wearing a Suns jersey, they call any foul on you, grit your teeth, where you're supposed to be, and don't say a word. Don't say a word, because I know they disagree with it, but the problem is now they're letting that affect them. Now
you're saying the refs are in their head.
Yes, exactly, and that's the problem the Suns are having. Like, if you're letting the refs get in your head, and in your mind you're like, "Oh yeah, the game's already over," like, you can't do that. Like, once you have a sizable lead, do not give up. Do not let the refs get in your head. Just keep pushing forward, because they could have won the game. They really could have.
Yeah.
Then they got in their feelings. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a light skin in them. I don't know. But they got in their light skin feelings, bro. And they started crying on the bench. And I'm like, "Look, bro, I get it. You're mad. But fam, you still got to play. You still got to go out there. And you, like, you guys had a good lead. You still needed to capitalize on it. You can't just sit there and be like, "Oh, what's the rest? You know, okay, let me give up." You can't do that. You got to fight, and you have to keep – you got to keep pushing forward regardless. I'm letting Devin Booker play 40 minutes. They could not guard this man. They could not guard this man. Bro, it's wild. Bro, you put Giannis on him. D-Book is like, "I own you. You all, they put Chris Middleton. You ain't nothing. They put Drew Holiday. Bro, it don't matter who they put on him. The kid is getting his bucket at will. There are stretches where he's going like 5-6 minutes where this kid is shooting 7 from 9 from the field. Who does that? In a 5-minute stretch, you got a kid who only misses because in his mind, he thinks he got fouled or he's doing some extra acrobatic shot where he's trying to shoot over 4 dudes. Those are the only times he's missing. If I'm the Suns, you need to run a couple more ISO plays for Booker. And if I'm Monty, the instant you see any of your guys starting to talk to the refs or they start shaking their head aggressively and looking down, the instant I see that, I'm subbing them out. I don't care who it is, whether it's Devin Booker, Chris Paul, Torrey Craig, Jay Crowder, Mikal Bridges, I don't care. The instant you start doing that, I'm putting up and I'm sitting you down. And the first thing I'm going to tell you, sit down. You're not going in until you check yourself. Because we can't sit here and we can't go back and forth and we can't be hanging our heads. We need to press, especially with the sizable lead we had. We need to keep pushing and we need to be controlling the pace. Another thing they're doing, they're shooting, they had a sizable lead. They're shooting threes with like 17 seconds on the shot clock. I'm like, Jay Crowder, I get it. You were hot. But can we wait till there's maybe 6 seconds? Can we wait maybe a little longer? Because now all you're doing is you're giving them extra possessions, you know? And I get it. Drake Carter was hot. There was a stretch where he was on hot, bro. He was hot. He was on fire. It was wild how hot that dude was. But again, like, let's in moderation. Let's wait. Let's run some plays. Let's milk some of the time. And then you can go ahead and shoot. Shoot your three when there's 6-5 seconds on the shot clock. I don't care. Why are we doing 18 in, bro? Chris Paul's trying to run a set. He gives you the ball, and you're like, oh, yeah, double team. Bah! I'm like, yo, what are you doing, Jay? I'm like, yeah, bro, you hot, but simmer down, bro. Relax. Take a deep breath. So in terms of the Suns, I think the Suns are still fine. I definitely do think they could win at Milwaukee, but they're going to have to go in with the mentality of I don't care what these refs say. I'm biting my tongue, and Monty Williams needs to let them know. Anyone who starts talking with them or starts looking down, I'm pulling you until you can get your energy up. Because that's one thing they're going to need going into Milwaukee. They're going to need high energy. They're going to need to be up, and they're going to need to be hype, and they're going to be ready. And if anyone, bro, I'll play. If I'm Monty, I'll play myself. I don't care. And you in this lineup, bro, you're going to need high energy. And I'm telling them, bro, if you cannot give me high energy, I cannot give you minutes. That's a trade-off we're going to need right now. Because, yeah, you're all talented, and you all deserve to be on the team aside from Cameron Payne, but you're going to need to show me something. You're going to need – I told you I hate him with a passion, and I am not going to give him any credit now. The disrespect shall continue for the rest of my life. But if I'm Monty, I'm telling him, bro, I need straight-up energy from everybody. I don't care what's going on. I don't care how down you are. I don't care what the score is. You give me energy, and I promise you I'll give you a chance to win. As long as they go in with that attitude – I have faith that the Suns will win. But if they gonna win just like all lackadaisical, they gonna take an L. I still got faith in the Suns team. I still think they can do it, but they gonna have to come out loud and they gonna have to come out fast in the beginning.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be tough for the Suns to try and go into game 6 in Milwaukee, in Bucks territory, to pull out a win for game 7. It's gonna be tough because we saw both games in Milwaukee. Milwaukee was able to turn around and actually turn around the series. Remember when we talked about is a game three win? Does this switch the momentum? And then we were like, they need to win game 4. And then they won game 4. And then JJ was like, they gonna win game 5. Now they won game 5, and now they're on the brink of winning the championship. So this is the first time Suns have this entire playoff. They've been on the brink of elimination. This is the time where boys become men in this league. And this is where, you know, your name is etched in stone come playoff time. This is what it's all about. Chris Paul, all that pressure is on you right now, man. This is literally, some say, your last chance of getting the championship. And you had a 2-0 lead and you lost 3 straight. What is it going to be now? Another collapse for you? Are you guys going to go down like this, Phoenix? This is really, really. Are you guys going to go out like that? You guys came in hot, and then y'all cooled down. Budenholzer, we've been shit on him this entire playoffs, but this finals, he's figured it out. He's made the proper adjustments to win 3 in a row. And listen, Milwaukee right now has all the momentum because we didn't believe that they were going to go in Phoenix and perform the way they did. Now, just because they have all of the momentum – Are you expecting another 29 from Middleton? Are you expecting another 24 from Holiday? Maybe, but you know, the last few times, every time they've had a game like this, what happens the following game, guys? A bunch of, damn, did he really play? That's what we're gonna get. So if we get this exact Bucks team that played in Phoenix and Milwaukee, then guess what? Giannis is gonna be holding the trophy, and they're gonna be holding, you know, they're gonna be winning the NBA finals. But what history has shown, when both players have games like they did in game five, they stink it up the following game. So if history proves us right, I think Phoenix still has confidence going into Milwaukee, because based on talent alone, they are the more talented team. So they can, based off talent, go into Milwaukee and steal it. Even though Milwaukee steal a game in Phoenix was more of a surprise, whereas if Phoenix beats Milwaukee, it's kind of like not expected, but they're the more talented team. So we, you know, they're more prepared to win in a win game. You know, Milwaukee winning that game was kind of like, all right, dude, like that. We have not seen this Middleton this entire series. Mid-range Middleton is what I'm going to call him, because the dude is smooth, bro. The dude has the mid-range game. Like, if when you look at his 2K rating in the mid-range right now, it's 99, because he's that wet coming off the pick and roll, working inside the perimeter. And Drew Holiday doing what he's advertised to do, lock down the fan. And not so much, you know, lock down, but straight up contain Chris Paul. Chris Paul doesn't know what to do anymore with Holiday, the way Holiday's ramped up the defense on him. This three-game winning streak that Milwaukee's been on, look at the defensive effort that Holiday has been giving you night in and night out. He's been straight up just kind of punking Chris Paul. So that's why I say, like, are you guys going to go out like this, Phoenix? Is this what you're going to be remembered as? Because what? There's not a damn soul in here, or none of us that I could think of, that would say, oh, Phoenix could straight up run the table next season and be in the NBA Finals next season. Because the NBA next season is going to be fully loaded. They're going to be fully healthy. And this is your shot. So, listen, guys, what chance does Phoenix have to beat Milwaukee? I give them, if it was going based off – I give them a 60% chance, because right now, yes, Phoenix is the more talented team, but Giannis has reached ultra instinct. The man is a walking 35. He's walking around with red eyes, like he's demonized. He's straight up demonized. There's not a man right now. There's not a player in the NBA right now that could stop Giannis. There's literally not. He's gonna sleep to 30, and that's on a banged up knee. Maybe it's not as banged up as it was in the beginning of the series, because before the series started, we all didn't know that he was going to come back, even let alone for game one. Yeah. So the fact that he's been able to play and perform, dude, I think if the series ends in game six, he's going to finish with the highest average in an NBA Finals record, like the NBA Finals history. That right there alone, the dude is solidifying his name as one of the best to play the game right now. Dude, Giannis right now is on another mode. It's going to take a complete effort from Phoenix to win in Milwaukee, because it's not like they stole one in Milwaukee and Milwaukee stole that game in Phoenix. They lost both games in Milwaukee, and Milwaukee straight up punched you in the mouth in Phoenix. So you got to step up. You got to answer the bell. Chris Paul, this is where your name is going to be made, my man, because there's going to be a lot of people putting you out of the top five all-time point guard position if you blow this lead, because you were up 2-0. So if you were to lose four straight in NBA Finals, bro, it's gonna be a lot of side eye. Devin Booker, bro, you are a superstar. You have been handling what you can handle, but try and get your teammates a little bit more involved. Try and get the entire team more involved. Cam Johnson, he can score. He can do some things. He went 2-for-3. He played 6 minutes and went 2-for-3. If you would have gave him the rock a little bit more, he could have done a little more, because he's that type of weapon on the perimeter. And when you're playing Milwaukee, you need your perimeter guys to step up, because you're guard dominant, but you're small guards. Devin Booker and Chris Paul, smaller guards compared to Holiday and Middleton. So if you have your wings and your perimeter getting more involved in the game, like Crowder has been, like Cam Johnson can be, I'm telling you, it could definitely bring more to that offense than what you've been getting, because you've been ball guard dominant and it's been three straight L's. Try and switch it up. Try and get the entire team more involved. Get a little bit of more eight involved in the offense, because that's the only way you're going to beat Milwaukee. Milwaukee right now, if you get this from Milwaukee in game six, then they could win. But what are the chances of Middleton giving 29 again, guys?
Yeah, no, you guys both make great points. And I don't give the Suns much of a chance to win in Milwaukee, because really what Milwaukee's problem has been throughout the NBA playoffs is that the role players just play small when it comes to being on the road. And at home, they play phenomenally well. We got a very rare explosion where the big three in Milwaukee all score 25+. And when they have done that, they have been undefeated in this playoff run. And I do think that we're going to get a similar scenario come game six in Milwaukee. I'm not sure if they're all going to give me 25+, but can I see Middleton and Jrue Holiday giving me 20+ each? Possibly, while Giannis drops a cool 30-35, I could definitely see that happening. And you're really going to see what this Phoenix team is made out of, because you're going to have all the pressure in the world. Bless your pride. All the pressure in the world, you know, in Milwaukee, your back's against the wall. If you don't win, you know, you're beat. You're going to go home back to Phoenix, and you're going to be crying because they're going to be celebrating on that court. And like you said, Sander, Giannis is going to be holding up that trophy. And the way that Giannis has been playing lately, he's definitely going to get the finals MVP. He's definitely more than worthy to host it if they do in fact win it in six, and he does perform another big performance in game six as well to wrap it up for himself. But I'm very disappointed in what I see in the Phoenix Sun guys, because coming to the series, I think we all had tricked the idea of Monty Williams is the better coach. I couldn't tell after five games, because he's just not making the right adjustments that you thought that he would have made at this point. For some reason, he has just ignored the whole build a wall to stop Giannis factor. He just doesn't believe in it, it seems, because he puts DeAndre Ayton as the guy to do it. And sure, DeAndre Ayton has the body to do it, but he's just a step slow to Giannis, who's just, like you said, he's just on another level right now. He's heating up. Giannis just can't be stopped. If you can stop him from 30, that's probably a good night defensively for you, because he could average 40 if he's on fire. Another thing about this too, Chris Paul, I think Chris Paul did have a good game five. He did, I believe he had 20 and 11, if I recall the numbers right. So, you know, so I'm not going to put a lot of blame on him on this particular moment, but he would have gotten a lot of praise if they would have won game five. So I got to give him a little criticism, because he was supposed to be the guy that was supposed to really wrap up that game for them in game five in their building, and they came up small. Devin Booker had the unfortunate turnover. You know, he was looking for that mid-range, and when he turned around, he just didn't know that Jrue Holiday was there. You see the ball go up, then you see the lob to Giannis, and that's essentially the game. Chris Paul's taking heat for just following Giannis on the alley-oop. It is what it is at that point. You know what I mean? Like, you got to make the guy shoot a free throw. And just like we all thought he was going to brick, the guy bricked it. You know what I mean? So to me, it didn't matter that he fouled him late pride, because if anything, if you got to send anybody to the free throw line, it's going to be Giannis on the Bucks. But right now, if you're Phoenix, you really got to, you know, really take it. Like, I think you had a great approach. You know, don't let the refs go in your head and just try to get the series back in Phoenix, because that's where you're going to have the best chance.
Yeah, and for you, because you said that Monty doesn't believe in the building the wall thing, I don't think it's Monty's fault. And the reason I say that is because he just unfortunately doesn't have the personnel to build the wall.
They're too small.
I don't think it's fair to be like, oh, yeah, Monty's getting out. Because, again, if he had the personnel, sure, no problem. But remember, every time DeAndre Ayton isn't on the court, what do? They go small. Ultra small, like it's bizarre, like bizarrely small.
Can I cut you off for a second? Because I think you made a great point about what Monty Williams has done. You know, he doesn't have the personnel. You're absolutely right. I'm not going to dispute that. You can't have the wall if you don't have the wall pieces. I definitely get it. But I do think he made a really big coaching failure in this game five, because at one point in the second quarter, he took out Chris Paul, Booker, and Ayton for an extended amount of time. And in that time, you know, you guys had mentioned that in that second quarter, they just expanded it. And before you knew it, the Bucks had the lead. And it's like, Monty, you got to keep at least one of those guys on the floor at the point, because they got the bodies. They're going to beat you on the offensive boards like they have all series.
Yeah, and he was doing a smart thing where he always kept either D-Book or Chris Paul on the floor at all times, which I like. Because the thing is, if you have Booker in there, okay, defense clogged, okay, I can get a shot. He can do his thing. Then if he leaves Chris Paul in there, yeah, he's still a threat. But you also can't just focus solely on him. You can't throw doubles at him because he's just going to pass it out. He's going to hit Drake Carter. So to me, it's it's more along the lines, because honestly, I don't, in terms of coaching, I don't think there's anything Monty could really do. I think he's doing everything he can with what he has. I genuinely believe it just comes to like those crucial stretches where the Suns kind of look a little deflated when, like, if they hear the whistle, they kind of start getting deflated. And it's kind of like, you can't get deflated. I understand you don't agree with it, but you can't let that get in your head, because once you start playing with low energy, I don't care what kind of talent you have. Once you start playing with low energy, the higher energy team is going to win. It doesn't matter the talent at all. For instance, look at Team USA with Nigeria. They were playing sloppy. They were playing slow, lackadaisical, and they took an L. Like, so if they just come in and start looking defeated, hanging their heads low, spending more time arguing with the refs than playing defense, they're, you know what I mean? Like, the only thing Monty could really do is tell them straight up, one word to the ref, that's 1 minute you're on the bench with me. That's really the only thing he could really do, which in that case, Devin Booker's probably playing no minutes. Man, but it's gonna have to do something, you know?
Bring it back to high school days.
Guys spending more time just yelling at the refs, and I understand your frustration, but while you're yelling at the ref, there's a whole game still going on. Like, you're still on the court, still trying to play, still trying to win. So the only thing Monty could really say is basically, hey, yo, shut up. Stop talking to them. Don't worry about it. Grit your teeth. Play with high energy. That's the only thing he can really say, because other than that, he's doing everything he's supposed to do. He's running the best sets to get Jay Crowder open looks. He tells the team, like, if things are getting sticky, you see him on the sidelines saying, clear the court, let Book run the show. Like, he's doing those stuff on the fly. It's just the Suns, like, when things don't go their way, they just kind of start getting, oh, I don't want to be here anymore. And it's like, once you start doing that, bro, you're just begging to take the L. You know what I mean? Like, you're just begging to take the L. So as long as they come in, grit their teeth, and keep the same energy all throughout, they have a solid chance. But, they're going to blow the whistle, and Devin Booker going to run over a Falcon punch one of them. I'm telling you, bro. It's going to be like the Mouse in the Palace all over again, bro. I'm telling you.
Sander, the only way I give this Phoenix team any chance is if they were to somehow grow 2 inches each a player, because they're just clearly the smaller team, and it shows in the numbers. You know, they're getting out-rebounded both offensively and just in rebounds in general. And, you know, like you just mentioned, Pride, all those offensive boards deflate you, because you're like, yes, we got the stop that we needed. And then Giannis' big-ass hand get the rebound, and you're like, damn, another 14 seconds. And then you shoot up another one and it misses. Yes, and then there goes Brook Lopez with another offensive rebound. And then before you know it, Sander, you're just deflated.
Yeah, and the Suns don't have the bodies to play big boy ball. They really don't. When they lost Saric, like, you know, they were depending on Frank Kaminsky and Craig. And Craig is what, 6'8", 6'9"? He's not a power. He's not your average power forward by any chance. He's more of a small forward just playing for forward because they don't got nobody. Right now, guys, you say build the wall, but the thing is, when you build the wall, and Monty was building the wall with just Ayton, Budenholzer figured out with guys, attack Ayton, get him in foul trouble, because if you get him in foul trouble, they don't got nobody else to try and sub in. So the wall is really a disadvantage with the Suns. So he, you know, Monty is doing the best he can. Budenholzer has just been able to do a little bit better because he has the body to play booty ball. He has the bodies.
Yeah. And at the same time, it's like, I mean, I still don't think Mike Budenholzer is that good of a coach.
Oh, hell no.
But at the same time, it seems like his voice is starting to resonate with these guys. It's almost like they're now starting to listen to him. It's like
he might keep his job.
When he went 2-2, like game five, Drew Holiday's actually listening to him, man. They're actually talking to the point where, like, Mike is like, no, 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 do this. And Drew Holiday's like, all right, I got you. Like, bro, game three. Yo, excuse my friends, but you know what? Drew Holiday was like, hey, yo, you could lick me from the back. Don't tell me nothing, dog. Like, don't talk to me. Like, that's his. He's like, bro, I'm just waiting to get traded in the office. I'm sick of y'all. Now, game five, it's like, okay, I'm willing to listen to you and engage and have somewhat of a dialogue with you. So it does seem like Mike Boone is starting to get, I don't want to say respect, but he's on the path of gaining it from his guys, because now when he's on the sidelines kind of drawing plays, and now when he's saying stuff, it seems like they're kind of more likely to listen, and they're more in tune to go, all right, let's give him an opportunity. So I will give him that he's on the road to redemption. I will give him that. Now, once things get sticky, it's going to be funny, because Like, I want to catch Drew Holiday going 1-for-7 and Chris Middleton going 2-for-8. And I want to see Mike Bruno say, hey, yo, guys, come on, sit down. And I want to see how quick you going to see Drew Holiday. Like, yo, why are you talking to me? Yo, shut up, yo. Sit down.
All I know is that if Milwaukee does end up wrapping the series up on Tuesday, that Coach Budenholzer will probably be the last guy to touch the trophy. They're going to go through everybody before he touches it. But
I'll be shocked if he even touches the trophy. I'll be shocked if he touches the trophy.
Nonetheless, guys, I do want to transition to the MLB to a serious matter, because there was a very scary incident, you know, during the Padres and Nationals game where there was gunfire heard and being echoed outside the park, you know, causing civilians and players alike to flee from the stadium. You even had footage of, you know, players like Manny Machado and Tatis, you know, grabbing fans and escorting them outside the park in a very scary situation. The game is set to be postponed for a further date yet to be evaluated, Sander. But, you know, is there anything you think the MLB could do to avoid another incident like that?
I mean, to be quite honest with you, there's not really much the MLB can do. I mean, you know, there's some rumblings about, there's people talking on the blogs, talking about, hey, maybe the MLB teams should consider maybe relocating outside of the cities and maybe go to more rural areas to go away from stadiums that are next to high rises and buildings. You know, for example, the All-Star game was going to get shot up until a lady warned the police that there was these guys with guns, and they got these three guys that had guns and over 1,000 rounds of ammunition right before the All-Star game. And they had a hotel room right across the street from the hotel, from the All-Star game, from the stadium. So you can only imagine.
That was a big story.
So you can only imagine. Like, I feel like, you know, that's really the only thing the MLB can. But right when you asking for that, you're asking for a lot. So there's really nothing the MLB can do to try and avoid situations like this. It's really just on us as human beings to just be better people, just try to be kinder people, because things like this, man, it's inevitable. They're never going to stop this. This is bullshit like this is always going to happen, guys. Happened in Vegas, and it's been planned to do something like this for a long time. And look, every other week you see some incident where someone's being bagged with guns and ammunition, and days before a big event. And now look at this. It actually happened. Thank God for guys like Tatis and Machado to open up the bullpen to allow families running to go in. There were 4 people allegedly shot. And, you know, from what I've heard, and supposedly there were more, but the last time I checked the news, there were about 4 people that were shot in this incident. And that's just scary, because we talk about all the time as others, like, yo, guys, let's go to the game. Let's go Yankees, Red Sox. Let's go do this. And again, it's not something that you would want to live in fear, because that's not a way you want to live. But that damn sure makes you put in perspective, makes you think twice or 3 times, or, you know, you got to be careful. It really makes you want to go out there and get your permit, get license, and get, you know what I mean? Just for your own safety. You know what I mean? It really, this is scary, guys. I can only imagine the prayers for the family of the affected. But JJ, as far as asking the MLB to stop this, there's nothing they can do. They can maybe up security going into the stadium, up metal detectors, more cameras. But again, this wasn't done inside the stadium. This wasn't a person that went inside the stadium and did this. This was from outside. So maybe maybe you could ask for these teams that are billions of dollars to maybe relocate to a rural area, avoid high rises and buildings that are across from it. Because that's really the only way you can avoid a shooting like in the manner that happened, because that's how they're happening. These inside terrorists are renting hotel rooms that are across the street from events, from big events, from games. This was just a Nationals Padres game, but guys, this could have been the Super Bowl. This could have been a World Series game. This could have been a major worldwide tournament event. And it's just scary, guys. So there's nothing that MLB can do. Maybe the like sports organization as a whole, NFL, NBA, MLB could all come together to try and do something, because this is just MLB. It can happen in the NBA. It can happen in any type of event. It's just inevitable, guys. There's nothing that MLB can do, but we could just pray and try and see and hope that nothing like this happens again, honestly.
So first and foremost, Manny Machado, I hate him with a passion. I really do. But it's almost as much as I hate Cameron Payne. Almost. But goddamn, he's testing me, bro. I'm almost about to compliment him. Because, like, this dude really, like, him and, you know, Fernando Tatis Jr., that's my guy. That's my GOAT. I don't care what no one says.
You don't want to give him no credit right now.
I don't want to, but I have to. Because, like, this dude really was like, hey, yo, you a Nets fan? Yo, man, I got. Like, he was grabbing people and bringing them to the clubhouse. So, good job. Begrudgingly, I say. In terms of what the MLB can do, unless all of a sudden the MLB can bug every building around the stadium and in real time have someone listen to every individual bug room and also have live surveillance, there's nothing they can do.
There's so you want them to do some Batman shit.
Bro, like, we going Big Brother, bro. We going like a government watching you type. Unless the MLB can do that, which I'm pretty sure is illegal. Pretty sure it's illegal unless you got like written consent. And I'm pretty sure a dude who's like gonna plan on clapping dudes, I'm pretty sure he ain't giving you consent. I'm like 90% positive on that. Unless they can do that, there's nothing they could do. Cause what people are comparing this is to what happened in the NBA earlier when like clowns were like being idiots and they were like throwing stuff on the players, right? Or when Trae Young got spat on, right? The difference is that was on the court. These guys were inside the actual arena.
You know, to that point, Pride, you know, we also had a very unfortunate incident in the Yankee Red Sox game in New York. You know, a trashy fan ended up hitting Alex Verdugo in the back with a baseball, which caused Verdugo to go 0-100 really fast.
Looking like Mickey Rose out there.
In the world because, come on, you're a professional. You're just doing what you got to do. Yeah, and this asshole fan wants to peg you in the back with a baseball. Like, if all those fans like that, just stay at home. We don't need 100%. You.
And that's why I say Yankees fans are trashy. You feel me? You'll never catch a Red Sox fan doing that. You feel me? I think it's very – and I think it was funny. It was a Yankee. So I jest. Jose says, I know some hotels are taking notice if you refuse room service for 3 to 5 days in a row. So that's something to start there. Yeah, but that's not the MLB. That's not the MLB. That's really a hotel-to-hotel kind of situation where, like, a hotel – listen, bro. Most hotels don't care. Let's call it what it is. They don't care. That's all they care about. They're like, let me get the guap. And as long as you don't snitch out our hotel, have whatever you want in your room. We don't care. That's really how they operate. So there's nothing really the league can do. Because, again, this didn't happen inside. It's not like they were targeting it. They weren't really targeting it. Like, based on what I read, they weren't targeting it. It was just like, you know, claps could do.
And let's be real. DC area ain't known for its flowers and its butterflies and shit.
No way.
Ghetto.
100%. 100%. And like, 100%. That's what it's kind of known for. So it's like, I mean, if you're going to have people relocate, that's to me, it doesn't make sense. Because where do most of the people who come to the games, where are they from? Most of them come from the city. That's why they built the stadiums in the city, because that's how they can get most of their money, most of their revenue. Like a lot of people who buy a ticket happen to pass by it and say, you know what, I'm getting it. Like that. That's how some people actually get their tickets. So if you end up moving to like a rural area, I mean, and again, I'm gonna sound corny for saying this, but again, this, let's not act like this happens every week. Like, that's another thing we kind of got to, like, we got to put this whole thing into perspective. Like, it happened outside. Again, completely unfortunate, but it happened outside. That's the equivalent of, like, if I'm a principal, two kids are fighting that don't even go to my school in the parking lot. Two randoms fighting in the parking lot. Now everyone's like, oh, what are you going to do to make it safe? It's like, that's not my fault. Those aren't my students. Like that. This was just like, it was weird. It was like a weird anomaly, if I could say something. Like, that's like the only way you can really put it. It was a very unfortunate situation. I hate Manny Machado, but on this day, I'll give him a compliment. He's all right at third base, I guess. You know, like, respect to all the players who kind of was just like, you know, because again, while it was happening, it was crazy because you can actually hear it on TV. Like, while you're watching that game, you can actually hear it, like, in the background. And, like, there was a whole bunch of guys who like opened the net, like in the, like, some people opened nettings, some guy, like, bro, they were like, yo, come on. If you got to go in the field, we don't care. They put up a little sign in the back where it was like, you know, this game's postponed. Please go to these exits. So I think for a situation like this, which is honestly not, this is something not a lot of people are really talking about. The Nationals handled this phenomenally for a bunch of guys who've never been in this situation before.
Yeah, and all of a sudden, as you probably could. Yeah.
On the fly, they're like, yo, we got to figure something out. And to end up not only getting people out of there safe, and the people who couldn't go safe, you brought them somewhere safe, but the fact that no one else got hurt because of, like, them, that, like, I give them major props for that. Because, like, bro, if it was me, hey, yo, I don't know if y'all ever watched The Office, but it would have been, I would have been Michael Scott in the episode where Dwight was like, oh, yeah, let's start a fake fire to scare them.
And nobody said, calm. Everyone said, fucking calm.
Stay every calm. And they go, everybody, every man for himself. And you got Oscar in the vents. And then Jim is trying to, like, break away. That's me. I'm in straight panic mode. I'm like, everyone on their own. Women and children are not first. I'm first. I don't, like, I would have straight up panicked. So 110% props to everyone who kind of, like, stepped up, did not know what to do, but somehow did the right thing. Like me, I'm making every mistake in the book. I'm reading the book. It says, all right, Pride, you're going to take left, right, we go. I'm going right. Like, I'm making every mistake. So for them to handle this like that, it's phenomenal. They deserve kudos. And they're still trying to figure out if they're even going to play the game. They might just let the game rock how it is. They're kind of not sure. And there's actually talks where they're going to shut down the Nationals, their stadium for a few weeks just so, like, the investigation could kind of do its thing. And that way when they bring people back in, you know, it's kind of like a, you know, yeah, it's, the investigation's over. There's no cop cars. Let's not talk about it no more. You know what I mean? So, but in terms of the MLB, there's nothing they could do unless all of a sudden we can go to the government. They could pass a big brother bill. The MLB can't really do anything, to be honest.
Yeah, and you guys are both right. As long as Americans could get guns, you know, you're always going to have incidents like this, and there's always a jeopardy that something like this can happen. It's just unfortunate that it happened during a televised game, and it caused not only civilians to be scared, but also players. And I agree with you 100%, Pride. The national team, they just handled it perfectly for as best as they could given the situation. So much credit to the Nationals. I think they handled the whole situation very well. But the Patriots are not handling their situation very well when it comes to Stephon Gilmore, because, you know, the season is starting right around the corner and they're still not coming to grips, Pride. You know, right? Stephon Gilmore is scheduled to make $7 million this upcoming season, and he's looking at that like, nah, dog, I'm worth way more than $7 million. And, you know, kudos to Patriots and Stephon Gilmore, because the Patriots did pay this man his money. They're like, yo, we're going to give you your money up front. He got the chunky amount of his contract. And when they both agreed to this, they're like, all right, yeah, I'll take the $7 million at the end. And Stephon Gilmore's not like, well, you know, I'm still nice, so I'm worth a little more than $7 million. You know what I mean? So, you know, I think both sides do have their argument. But do you think that both sides are going to come to an agreement before the season starts?
I think so. And, well, it comes down – so Stephon Gilmore doesn't want to reset the market. Let's just get that clear. He don't want to reset the market.
He only wanted $7 million.
That's it. He just wants a pay bump. That's what he wants. Now, this is going to be his final year, or the final time he'll be able to go and get a big contract. This is it. Because after this, because he's 30. Yeah. So after this, he's not, you know what I mean? This is going to be his final year to get a good contract. So that's basically what he wants. He's like, look, bro, I'm not trying to reset the market. All I want is just to be paid more. If I can look at my contract and says, okay, I see double digits, I'll survive. I'll be cool. Problem is, Bill Belichick, especially when it comes to defensive ends, never been that guy after 30 to, like, throw you a check and be like, all right, cool. He's never really been that guy. Go ask Ty Law.
One time.
No, go ask Ty Law. Go, and even with Darrell Revis.
And he was gone, though, after that. Like, I think he was 31. He was like,
one season.
Yeah, because Revis he was signing one and done, and Revis was like, yeah, I'm coming back. He was like, yeah, you coming back to the Jets, because that's where you going, fam. That's it. I don't want to hear it. And then, like, you know, and Aqib Talib, same thing. Like, once you start getting older, Bill Belichick kind of doesn't really want to give you that money. However, we are kind of seeing a different side of Bill Belichick. Like, Bill Belichick is spending money. Like, it's coming out of his metaphorical, you know.
Remember, he spent Robert Kraft's stimmy during the offseason.
100%. 100%. And then after they ran out, Robert Kraft hit up his boy Trump. He's like, I need another one. He said, bah! And then they got more, bro. Like, he had it like that. Yeah. He had it like that, bro. And it's wild. Like, he literally is spending money. So now that we're seeing another side of Bill, maybe it's possible. Now, the deal that supposedly the one I saw that he wants is like a 3-year, $15 million per year. That's what he's looking at. So that's about 45.
Yeah, 3 years, 45.
Yeah, if you they're probably gonna give him, if he ends up doing this extension, if it'll be a 3-year $50 million with, like, in the 50 is like $5 million of like signing bonuses, incentives, stuff like that, which will then end up getting to $50 million. That's one route they can go. Another route they can go is say, look, bro, we're not gonna pay you. However, we'll be nice. Let's restructure this final year. Let's give you about $12 million, enough to make you finish this year. After this year, go get your big money. Because that's the problem we're having. The Patriots right now, they're at a crossroads, and they're kind of trying to figure it out. Do we want to give him that 3-year deal? Because the thing is, they agree. The first year of that 3-year deal, that's not the issue. It's the 2 years after that, because he wants that contract guaranteed. He wants a guarantee, so it's the 2 years after that they're concerned about. So now they got a decision. Do we just say, all right, let's give him the 3 years, or do we say, yo, we're going to restructure your final year, give you 12 to 14, but you know what? We'll give you 15. Let's just keep the peace. Come back. Because Stephon Gilmore is our best player right now. Stephon Gilmore is our best player. If you say no, you just don't know Patriots football. He's our best player.
Now, you're right. He got the highest overall. You're right.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. Bro, like, unless you tell me Mac Jones all of a sudden said coming to Tom Brady, I'm chilling over here with Stephon, bro.
Not yet.
100%. That's my guy, bro. You know, so – and especially with, like, the improvements they made to the defense, because we're getting a whole bunch of guys back. It'd be quite foolish for us to just be like, okay, let's get rid of Stephon. It's weird because Bill Belichick made a whole bunch of moves in the offseason to be at least somewhat of a threat in our division.
Like a trifold.
Before and after picture. I think he's trying to call me fat. So, but I'm young, though. I'm a baby. I burp right now. My breast still smells like baby formula. 100%. I'm a child.
It smells like Gerber.
Gerber fresh, like 100%.
That was Jared.
Yeah.
Hey, yo, Jared, if my bad, Jared, if you're watching, I'm ready to hear that Costanzo and Charlo talk.
Yeah, but it's not really a tough spot. It's more like, do we want to keep him for a year or three, like the rest of this contract, or do we want to keep him for four because he still has this contract and he is willing to play this year for $7 million. He is willing as long as we give him that 3-year deal.
Exactly. Yep.
If we give him that 3-year deal, he goes, oh, I'll play for free. Excuse my friends, but I'll play for free.
But
as long as the next few years, I get paid my cheddar. Yeah. So that's the issue. I think we're going to have him only because of the way Bill Belichick is. He's trying to do, like, he's trying to win. Like, his mind is like, look, Tom Brady won a Super Bowl. I'm already embarrassed because that. We went 7-9. I don't care why the injuries. Yes, sir, Costanzo got robbed. I'm going to be there Saturday. Trust me. I'm going to be there Saturday. I'm quite curious as to hear what y'all say because I'm just curious. But they need to figure out what they want to do. Right now, we still have a month. We still got time. And he even said, bro, I'll play. If we don't come up with an agreement, I'll play. Only issue is if I play and y'all don't give me a deal within my reasonable time, I'm going to have to start looking elsewhere. Because he doesn't want to leave the Patriots. His number one thing is I'll stay, but I want my money. However, if I have to go somewhere else to acquire said money, then that's just the business. That's the business. And I don't blame him for it. You know, again, he's 30. This is his last chance to get a good deal. This is going to be his final chance. Because after that, what he's going to get, he's going to probably be for a veteran minimum. If he even continues to play. So I don't blame him. Let's figure out what's going to happen. The Patriots have two routes. They got two ways to go about it. And right now they need to figure out which way they want to go with. And whichever way they go with, just stick by it. Because ain't no way they're going to give him this 1-year deal. He plays phenomenally. And then they go, oh, yeah, by the way, we'll give you that deal. You know what I mean? Because now he's going to feel slighted. So it's as of right now, I'm not too worried. But if we start getting to, like, week 2 and there's no deal, then he's more than likely on his way out.
Yeah, no, I think they're going to come to a deal, guys. Earlier when we talked about it, I said that Stephon Gilmore might have been out the door because that's the first time we ever heard of a Patriots player not showing up to volunteer workouts. Nonetheless, I think all the momentum is going towards them signing, them getting into a deal because guess what? Bill Belichick has done what he hasn't done before, and he's spending a lot of money. So all of you guys who haven't received your stimulus check, well, don't look any further. Bill Belichick already spent it. You're not going to get it. You know, he's spending all the money, and not for nothing, guys, but the best thing for the Patriots to do with this defense if they want to have a chance to contend, because they straight up spent all that money for a reason. It wasn't just to be third place. It was to contend in the division and possibly win the division. So you're not gonna get any better without Stephon Gilmore. You need Gilmore to continue to be in that defense, to lead that defense, because with him, you guys are an elite defense, and you guys are getting 7 starters back that didn't play due to COVID, a la Dante Howard. So, you know, getting Dante Howard back, get Stephon Gilmore, man, in secondary.
Nah, fine,
that's hilarious. I'll give him that. That's hilarious.
I hear you. He definitely needs some new shoes, man. He is up there in age. He's 7 million. He's definitely worth more. But, guys, I believe Bill Belichick will come to an agreement with Stephon Gilmore, because this year is different for Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick obviously has had the cushion of having Tom Brady to make up for a lot of the deficiencies that the Patriots had. But he doesn't have the GOAT anymore. So he needs his guys. So Stephon Gilmore is one of those, you know, guardians that you definitely need in that defense. Bill Belichick is a defensive genius. He needs Stephon Gilmore in order to be successful, in order for the Patriots to make some noise in the AFC East, because the Bills are coming, the Dolphins are coming, you know, the Jets, you can sleep on them. But if you want to contend for number 2 or number 3 or number 2 or number 1, you have to get through Buffalo. You have to get through Miami, and it's gonna be really hard to try and get through them without your guy Stephon Gilmore, who has been, since he's been with the Patriots, no worse, a top 5 overall corner in the league since he's been the Patriots. So he's been handling his business. I know we all, if this was 3 years ago, I don't think Belichick would have gave him a contract. But this is a new Belichick, the Belichick that's spending money because he wants to let it be known. Listen, I'm great without Brady, just like Brady was great without me. So I feel like that's the energy that they're going to have. They're going to get this deal done. Like Price said, and it's known, he's not trying to be the highest paid corner in the league. He's not at all. But at least a little raise, man, because it's like a dude going into this job overperforming for 6-7 months and doesn't get like a 30-cent raise. I'm not asking for $5. I'm asking for at least 30 cent. And that's what Stephon Gilmore is, because if Stephon Gilmore was going into this year and he was having Richard Sherman numbers, then I understand Bill Belichick wholeheartedly having doubt. But the man has been producing top quality corner numbers, and he's going into his 30s. But Stephon Gilmore has never been that guy to take punishment. He's not the guy that has, you know, his body been broken down. He takes care of his body, and he's a well-rounded athlete. So Stephon Gilmore is one of those few guys that can go 30, 31, 32, 33 years into their life in the NFL and still be producing. You know, Stephon Gilmore is a staple. Belichick, that's one of your guys. You haven't been doing what you've been. This is the first time you ever spent money in your entire tenure as a head coach in New England. This might as well be the first time you pay a defensive player that's, you know, touching 30 or older. So, you know, just go ahead and do it, bro.
Yeah, and I agree with both of you guys. You know, ever since Stephon Gilmore showed up to New England, even prior to that, he was definitely a top corner in the league, and he only got better as a Patriot. And we all know that Bill Belichick's defense always needs that premier corner, because it just makes the whole system work. And when you got a guy like Gilmore that can lock down the number one guy, everything else just falls into place. So I do think because of that, Bill Belichick will come to agreements with Stephon Gilmore. He just put it together, because I just feel like Stephon Gilmore fits the Patriot mold. He seems to just be that guy for that team. And like you mentioned, guys, this team isn't better without him. And they're definitely going to be a lot better with him, especially with all those starters coming back that opted out last year due to COVID. And I think that everybody expects the Patriots not to be the world beaters that they were for the last 20 years, but to at least be back in playoff contention, because that's what we know them to do. You know, Miami, I think, is a good team, but I do think that the Patriots could rival them for that wild card spot, because I think at the moment the Bills just have the hold in the division until Josh Allen turns into a bummer or something. Like, I just think that right now he's playing with all-time confidence. They got a great coach, and they have a good defense. They'll remain a good team, but I do think that the Patriots' pride going into this next season are trending up and not down.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we definitely are trending up. Again, I'm not expecting us to be the world beaters that we once were with Tom. I'm not expecting that. I do expect us to be better. But I'm not really worried. Because, look, we need Stephon, you know. Like, put him on any team, he's the number one. I don't care what anyone says. Maybe if you want to nitpick him and Jalen Ramsey, I don't care. You put him on any team and he's your number one, very respected defense, you know. I like JC Jackson. I do. I just don't think he's a one. And if we don't have Stephon, that's who our number one is. And I like him as a two. He's a great number two. I like him there. No. But again, I don't see him locking up a guy like a D-Hop, or even containing a guy like a D-Hop, a Davante Adams. It doesn't matter. Julio Jones, A.J. Brown. I don't see him holding on to those dudes. You see what I'm saying? So it's going to be tough if we don't have him. But again, everything tells me is right now they just need, like, it's like a couple.
They can't help themselves. They can't help themselves. I'm telling you.
100%. But it's almost like you're in a relationship, right? And, like, you guys hit a rough patch, right? You know, we just need to work on our communication. We're going to couples counseling. That's where they're at right now. They're at couples counseling. And they're just going to figure out, okay, look, bro, am I marrying you? Or are we just going to enjoy the tail end of this little fling? You know what I mean? I tap you back there. You feel me? You give me a kiss here and there. And then we go our separate ways. That's what they're trying to figure out. Once they figure it out.
What you say, Prey? You going to let me hit it one more time? Or are we going to break up?
Let me hit it one more time. He going to have Bill Belichick like that, bro. I'm going to tell you this right now. In the offseason, if you see Bill Belichick smile one time, if Bill smiles one time, that means they signed Stephon. I'm going to tell you that right now. Because Bill Belichick, ever since Brady left, bro, he's been miserable. He hates life. He's like, yo, I hate this.
And it got worse since Brady won the championship. It got worse.
Even worse. Like, in his mind, he's like, I want to retire.
I swear to anything, I think ever since the Bucks won the championship, I haven't seen him on a Subway commercial 100%. At all. He was on like all of them, and all of a sudden he is on none of them.
Bro, he got the CEO of Subway on speed dial. The instant it was halftime, he called them, yo, pull it now. Hung up. That's it. Game over. They were like, and now you got guys.
Give me one more chance.
But I'm telling you right now, bro, I'm not worried. I'm not concerned. They're gonna be fine. We're gonna be fine. We're okay. Moving in the right direction. I hope we sign him for 3 years. Because the thing is, even if he has a decline, I don't see him coming off a cliff. At the end of that contract, he'll be
a top 10 corner.
He's going to be what? A top 10 corner? Still a very respected corner regardless. You know what I mean? So if they give him that deal, I'm not bugging. I wouldn't be. I want them to give him that deal.
I see, I'm not trying to put him in this category, but I think that Stephon Gilmore has a very Darrell Revis approach to his game, as in a sense, like, I'm not the most physically athletic corner, but I'm the smartest guy on the field, and I know where you're going, and I'm gonna shut you down. So with that being said, you know, like, he's gonna stay a top corner for a long time.
Oh, definitely. He's very smart. He definitely has a very high IQ. So let's say his athleticism dips off, you still have a guy who's smart who's gonna be like, okay, you know, I know my weakness, but guess what? I still know yours, and I can still, even how I am now, I can still find a way to maybe not shut you down, but make things even harder. And when you're a number one corner, there's some guys you can shut down. But when you're facing a guy like Davante Adams, you're facing a guy like D-Hop, you can't really shut them down. Your job is to just make it harder. Make them work harder. So that way, in the second half, they're drained. And now you don't have to do as much, you know, because they're so tired. And you made them work for a normal catch that would have been 15 yards. They had to kill themselves to get three. You know what I mean? So that's kind of, you know, what Stephon Gilmore is. He's pretty good at that. He is, and I like him for it. I hope we give him that. We hope we give him that contract. We're on our way up. I think we're second in the division, to be honest. Again, the Jets are just a high school team. They're like the peewee team, so we don't really talk about them. Miami, I don't think they're there yet, but they are going in the right direction. They're moving upwards, and in a few years, and like I say, two years. Yeah, in 2 years, you give Tua some confidence. Let him be cool. In 2 years, they're gonna start challenging the Bills. Cause we're gonna fall off the map in about 2 years. I'm gonna keep it a buck, bro. Cause Bill Belichick leaves, and we gonna
We got mac and cheese, baby. We got mac and cheese.
100%. I'm good, bro. But listen, bro, I'm scared. Cause once Bill Belichick leaves, Robert Kraft's going to panic, and guess who's going to somehow sneak in? I'm telling y'all, we're going to get a scrub like Adam Gase back in here, bro. And all of a sudden, Matt is going to look like a bum. I'm scared. I really am scared because Bill Belichick, he old. Dude is old. Feel me? He farts dust, bro. This dude is old. And he's going to And when he leaves, I'm scared.
My man call him a relic.
Bro.
He's an antique.
Bro, my dude is so old for history class, he just wrote down what he was doing. That's how old my man is. And, like, y'all expect him to be here for, like, what, 5-7 years? Tripping, son. Dude, old, bro. The AFC East regular season standings will be Bills 1, Dolphins 2, Patriots 3, Jets 4. The Bills, the Patriots will be on the outside looking in. I get why you would say
it
that.
It can happen. That's not a stretch. It's not a stretch.
I mean, if Tua and their – not really their defense because they have a legit defense. But if Tua takes this the enormous step, then sure. I don't think he's going to take that step. I think he'll take a step. But I don't think it's going to be like an enormous step. I think it's going to be more of a, okay, he's going to –
It'll be competitive. It'll be competitive for the two
spots. I mean, maybe. Again, it depends on the size of the step to him. Because Tua basically is going to make or break their season because they believe in him.
And look, I'm going to say this right now when I'm going to wrap up the section. I do got – this is a little dark horse for me, but I think Tua is going to win most improved player of the year. That's all I'm saying. And I think that's bad news for the Patriots and the Bills. But, you know, I'm a Tua guy. That's just how I feel. 100%.
It's going to be between him and Danny Dimes because, like, those two guys are like, you guys take us as far as we can go, and it's up to you guys to lead us there. So, you know, unless all of a sudden Jalen Hurts freaking be like, yo, Carson, who? What? Wentz? Nah, bro, it's my team. Unless all of a sudden he comes out of nowhere, bro. But, I mean, look, our division's looking fine. You know what I mean? We're having a good division. We all look good. We're the only team in the NFL that has a three-team division. We don't talk about the Jets. The only time we talk about the Jets is stuff that flies in the air. That's it. Until then, we don't talk about them. So we got a three-team division. It should be fun. It's going to be a good season for us. It's going to be a good season.
At least you guys have a division. We barely have a division.
Can we propose a draft? Like, we will give you guys the Jets, and then we'll get, like, give me a back a box of cookies. You feel me? Is that a fair trade? I think I'm giving up a little too much. No. I'm not getting enough, bro. Matter of fact, white chip macadamia nuts, and we'll call it a deal, bro.
Just got it.
That might go down. You never know. Madden does some crazy trades. But it is Monday, so we do gotta do an update on our Blazing predictions. Brought to you by Rocky Hill Accountants with over 35 years of combined experience. Rocky Hill Accountants have the licensed professionals to handle your financials. Make sure you guys let her know that Clover Crest Media sent you and that the boys from the Start of the Power Crew sent you. Sander, how was your weekend with your predictions, my brother?
Hey, man. I lost the war, but I won the battle. Because, yes, the whole thing was my man Islam Makhachev was going to dominate the fight and win unanimous decision. Well, he damn sure dominated that fight because he was looking oh so good. Just oh so good. And he won in the fourth round via submission. But nonetheless, guys, he got the dub. He handled business. And guess what? He will be seeing a top five in his next fight. He wins that. He'll get a shot at the number one contender, and you'll be seeing Islam Makhachev by the end of 2022 challenging for a championship belt.
Yeah, I was watching that fight, and like after round one, just round one, Thiago went to the bed, like to the stool, and he sat down, and just I saw a broken man. Just one round, and I just see Khabib yelling at Makhachev, and I'm like, fam. Mm-hmm. Look over there. Yo, he got Thiago quitting, and you're yelling at
he's
him.
He's like, bro, you're winning.
Yeah, I'm like, yo, he's winning. Like, he's doing the right thing. And you just see Khabib. But it just shows you how much of – look, I'm not the biggest Khabib fan in the world. I'll be honest. But it does show you how much of an impact he had on those guys training, bro. Because the second round, Makhachev came out, and he was fighting like he was losing. And I'm like, yo, fam, I don't know what scorecard you reading, bro. But you're not losing at all, bro.
His
like,
striking not even, is improving.
And it's wild, bro. Like, hit, the way he does his striking, it's like Kamaru Usman. Every time we see him, his striking gets better. And
He threw a left hook in the third round that caught Moises and stumbled him a little bit. I'm like, oh, my God.
Bro, 100%. I wouldn't even be mad if his next fight is a number one contendership match. That's how great he dominated. Yeah. Like, if you want to put him right in there, I wouldn't be mad, because every single aspect of the fight, he dominated on the feet, on the ground, even in transitions. Like, Makhachev just had his way, literally. No matter what Thiago Moises wanted to do, Makhachev was bizarre. It was like he was like two steps ahead of him. It's almost as if like he knew what he was gonna do, and he was like, no, my friend, you don't do that. Like, I could have swear I heard him talking. Swear to God, I swear I thought I heard him talking. I blinked my eyes and I thought Khabib was in there. I swear to God, I heard him talking, bro. Mm-hmm. I kid you not, it was wild, man. But that dude got a great future, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's gonna be a chip with it within like 2-3 years. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a champion. Forget getting a title shot. I wouldn't be shocked if this dude's a champion, because
I call him Baby Khabib, you know, and he fits the mold exactly. And you know, you guys mentioned he has the trajectory that he could possibly be better than Khabib at this direction, and that's a compliment in itself, because we already recognize how great of a fighter Khabib was when he was active, 20-0, never lost a fight. So we know what he represents. But nonetheless, Islam, you're turning in the right direction, my brother. You know, you can see him, like I said, potentially fighting for a top spot really, really
younger than Khabib.
And he's exactly. And, you know, I feel like Dana also sees it. He's like, yo, this is my next cash cow right here, because this guy right here, he's really the real deal. And, hey, put him out there. We want to see him. So it's the rest of the world. What you got for me, Clyde? How was your prediction?
So I said Team USA would win. They did not let me down. I was so scared.
America.
Like, bro,
two in a row.
At one point, bro, they were down, like at a cast time. No lie, I almost got scared. Like, I was like, oh no, no way, I gotta move to Spain. Like, it's
passport.
Bro, like, I started Googling how to speak Spaniard. Like, that's how down they had me. Can I ask a question? Real quick. Why? Look, bro, Ricky Rubio dropped a little over 20 points. Where is this Ricky Rubio in the league? That's my question, bro. I swear to God, this dude gets busted when it comes to the Olympics, bro. But then you put him on the team, and he's just like, hola, thank you very much. And said, he's like, no, I want Enrique. That's what I want. I don't want Ricky. I want Enrique. That's what I want, bro. Like, bro, like, and, bro, I almost had an aneurysm. There was one play where Kevin Durant was double-teamed. And for some unknown reason, decided to shoot a three. And I was just like, this dude just didn't get over that. The fact that you lost to the Bucks because of a three. Like, he's trying so hard to prove, like, yo, that was a three. Like, he wants to prove it. This dude shot like 25% from three. And I'm just like, yo, can someone just punch him? Can we get Russ on the team to, like, make him go in the shell? I need a break from him, bro. Like, I need a break from Kevin Durant. I love him and all, but I need a break from him. Zach LaVine got COVID. I don't mean to be rude, but thank God, okay? Now that we opened up, please, LeBron, come save us. LeBron, save us. Somebody, Anthony Davis, save Luca, abandon your country. Kawhi, save us. Kawhi, stop faking. You didn't really get surgery. Save us, bro. Yo, I can't believe I'm saying this, bro. Pandemic P, save us.
Yo, Pandemic P would actually be good.
Because there's no pressure. Because we do, so there's no pressure.
Can I also just say this? James Harden, stop chilling with the baby and Kanye West and go play some damn basketball.
Yes. Oh, man. See, yo, James, guess what? You wouldn't have almost got arrested if you was on Team USA. Think about that. We could have saved you some time, but no, you don't want to. Oh, I don't want to play. I'm sick of it, bro. You want to be sitting
next to Kanye, you're looking at him like, what the hell he wearing?
100%, bro. Like, no, bro, I'm looking at this stuff, and I'm like, bro, Draymond Green, swear he that guy again. I'm like, fam, no, you're not. Yo, he's trying to run the floor. I'm like, fam, you need to run the treadmill because you're looking like Jay when he got traded from Houston, fam. What are you doing, man? But thank God, yo, my knight in shining armor, the man who saved me when I was down bad, Damian Lillard, I'm training for him. Jaylen Brown, you gotta go. Yo, my night in saving my night. That is my
time in Boston.
From now on, if he comes to Boston, I kid you not, every day on this show, I'm gonna wear a paper watch. That'd and when you different. Ask me what time it is, I'm gonna write Dame Time on it for him. And every segment, I'm gonna go like this and go Dame Time. That's how wet this guy got me right now, bro. That's how he got me right now, bro. Right now, Dame Lillard texts me, tells me to jump out the window. Guess what? Deuces. Boom, I'm gone. He's saving this country so bad, bro. He's when he comes back, everything's a free 100%. But bro, I've never yo JJ, like I almost had 3 heart attacks that game. I'm not even kidding. I almost had like 3 heart attacks, and for the first time, I almost got a heart attack because I was a scar from my face with food. Like it was the stress this team was inducing on me, bro. And like I was down bad, bro. I googled how to move to Spain. That's how down bad. I'm looking at plane tickets. I'm looking at plane tickets. How bad down bad this team got me. But thank God they came through. Kevin Durant. It was a 2. Get over it. And if you want to prove it so bad, get James here. Get Kyrie. Get the diva in here. I don't care. I just don't want Zach LaVine and JaVale McGee no more. I don't want him no more. Go ahead, JJ.
And the last Team USA got that dub, and you know it was a good win to get because now we're going to go to the Olympics, and it's good to come off a win because we're going to need it. But guys, my prediction came true, half true, because I did say that the Bucks will win Game 5 in Phoenix, and I felt it in my bones, and I thought that Giannis was going to drop 35. He called me a liar. He said I'm going to just give you 32. Screw you, bro. But nonetheless, listen, he dropped 32. Middleton dropped 21. Drew Holiday dropped 27, and whenever a big three of any big three, name any big three in history, whenever they can give you a performance like that, they're not going to lose. Standard, if LeBron gave you 32, D-Wade gave you 29, and Chris Bosh gave you 27, you're going to win that game. Pride, if freaking Paul Pierce gave you 32, KG gave you 29, and Ray Allen gave you 27, you winning that game too. So big kudos to the Bucks big three, you know, for really showing up. And Phoenix, you know, it was a tall task. That's probably one of the most electric home games I felt. I've seen all playoffs. It was a great atmosphere in Phoenix. But hey, you know, people are trying to overrate this team now. Like, oh, is this going to be the next dynasty team in Milwaukee? Take it easy. They still got to win a game.
Yo,
chill out. Yo, the atmosphere is still a little too wide. Let them just win one more game, and then maybe we could talk that. But don't call them champions until they champs.
Let me just say one thing, okay? If I'm not mistaken, your prediction was just the win, and you just said the Giannis 35 plus was just the cream on top. If I'm not mistaken, you said that didn't matter. If I'm wrong, let me know.
I thought that that would be the cherry on the top, him dropping 35 plus.
Oh, so that's
the prediction that they will win Game 5.
Oh, so I was the one who got it right. It's hard to be successful. It's hard to be successful.
Sander and I both got a half right, so that makes
one. And I got a full right.
So you got a full right. We got halves.
You know what else is hard to be successful? Being a member of the greatest organization, the Boston Red Sox, because we out here hitting dingers, bro. James Durant had a 2-run home run. I just want to throw that out there, bro. It's hard to be successful. It's hard. It's bro, hard.
My Yankees beat your Red Sox this weekend, and
it's like nothing
that
ain't
because count. Like we're still so far behind. It doesn't that even matter
count.
Right now.
That ain't count though. That ain't see. I pulled in a favor. I called in Alex Cora. I said, "Yo, let's throw the game for them." Alex Verdugo was like, "Yo, bro, I don't care about the game. I'm trying to catch pause." Rumor has it he caught somebody out there.
He caught somebody
out the stadium. Rumor has it, and you know what I mean. That yo, Xander Bogaerts was FaceTiming, and me and Rafi was like, "Oh, got otra vez loco." So you know what I mean. I crossed out my man Verdugo, but you know, I know best outfielder in the game, so I don't even miss Mookie.
Man, listen. When you said LeBron Wade, and Bosh, like that brought back 2K14 memories.
Sorry.
When LeBron was on the cover and he was throwing the thing up, and oh man, bro, I was depressed when he went to Miami. I was so depressed because I was like, we're never winning another ring again. I in my mind, I was like, we're hit. Like, we are irrelevant. Like, trade everyone now. And I was so depressed. But, you know, he's the GOAT. So I couldn't be mad at him. I love
him. He the GOAT. And not only is he the GOAT, but his Space Jam movie had much success. I still got to make my way to go see it. But LeBron, much kudos on the Space Jam. It seems a lot of people liked it. And the only one who didn't like it was Skip Bayless hating ass. Shut up, Skip. We don't care about you.
Somebody actually, to be the last thing, they actually got the stats from Michael Jordan in Space Jam and LeBron in Space Jam. And they said, this is why MJ's greater. When I saw that, bro, I commented, do not speak sports.
MJ went 22 for 2 and LeBron went 4 for 5.
4 for 5. And they were chatting. I'm like, question mark? Oh my God! I love this country.
I'm sure that they must have torn a hamstring or something reaching for that one because that was bad.
100%.
That was
bad. They still spent money to go see it, so they're still
losing. Exactly. I don't want to hear nothing.
We're Stir the Pod Sports. Make sure you guys follow us on our Facebook and Instagram pages at Stir the Pod Sports. Also check us out on Twitter at Stir the Pod Sport and on Twitch TV / Clovercrest Media Group. Also, check out the website for all episodes, clovercrestmedia.com/stirthepotsports. And make sure you guys check us out on Spotify and Apple Podcasts under CMG Sports. Stir the Pot Sports will be right there. Give us a download. We appreciate that very much. But, yeah, guys, game six tomorrow, and it's looking like Milwaukee has a lot of momentum going on right now.
100%. I don't even know if I can stomach it, bro. The league is done. Yo, remember when I said I'm glad LeBron wasn't in it because it gave me something fresh? I've never told a bigger lie before in my entire life.
Let's go game seven. Let's go game seven.
It's like, hey. Bro, it's.
Tanner, those are the best words in sports. Game seven. So maybe we'll get one, but something just tells me Milwaukee's going to get it done. But we'll see. I'm JJ Vargas alongside my brothers, Riley Barrett, Sander Sanchez. We'll catch you on Wednesday.
Yes, sir. Hey.